Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, I got a riddle for you.
All right, I'm down.
Okay, what's purple? You spell it forwards and backwards. It says exactly the same thing. Yeah. It rhymes with orange, and it has teeth.
Forwards and backwards, purple, rhymes with orange, has teeth. I don't know.
I don't know either, but we can talk about the ideas of it.
All right. Got him.
That is a stupid joke.
Hey. Hey. It's very in our lane.
It is in our lane, and hey, so is the Idea Summit.
Very true. For the whole ministry family.
For the whole ministry.
It's happening January 30th through the February 1st of 2023 in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas.
It's the very first Idea Network event that is a two-night, three-day event, and we're really excited about it. It's not just a day. It's not just a night. It's not just a summit. It is the next level, the zenith, the very pinnacle, the summit of summits. We call it the Idea Summit for the whole ministry family. Now, why for the ministry family, Drew?
Because we want everybody to come.
Yeah.
So we've had many idea days, nights, and summits in the past that really have been geared toward ministry leaders, pastors, and their wives, but hasn't really focused on the entire family.
Yeah, and this time we want you to not only know that your kids are welcome to come, but they're actually encouraged, because paralleled right alongside of the adult conference for ministry leaders, there is a kids conference and a teen conference for each and every one of you. Yeah, they're going to have events, they're going to have parties, they're going to have great opportunities to hear from teachers in those fields, specifically talking to them about what it's like to be in the ministry. What is it like to be a PK? What is it like to have mom and dad in full-time ministry or bivocational ministry? And they're going to love this event.
Now, some highlights for the summit. Our keynote speakers is going to be Dr. Tony Evans. We have Alan Parr, who's popular YouTuber, speaker, preacher of the word. We have Brian Sams and yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to be there as well.
You're going to be there as well.
And you.
I'll be there.
We're going to have a great time there in January 30th, 31st, and February 2nd. You can go up and sign up at ideanetwork.church/summit. Looking forward to seeing you in Dallas.
Welcome to episode 166 of the Idea Talks. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about ministry burnout with Mike McKenzie. Mike works and is one of the directors at a retreat center.
Yeah, called the Marble Retreat. And it's a great opportunity for you to learn a little bit more about this. And we're going to be talking specifically about ministry burnout. But before you do, you know, one thing that really helps people not burn out?
What's that?
A great time at an idea day. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, but there's no idea day anytime close, is there?
And the answer is there's an idea summit.
There's a summit. Who needs a day when you could have a whole summit? And the summit is coming up here in the end of January, January 30th, 31st, and February 1st in Dallas, Texas. We're going to have a great time down in the Sunshine State. It's not the sun. What is the state? Single Lone Star State? Is that what it is?
Lone Star State.
The biggest state, the best state. I don't know. What do they call it?
Everything's bigger in Texas.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but we're going. The summit's bigger in Texas.
It is. It's very true.
We have Dr. Tony Evans is going to be there. We have Alan Parr, YouTube sensational preacher. We've got Brian Sams, and we've got a plethora of great workshops, roundtables, and opportunities for you. So we want you to come down, and not just you and your team and your spouse, but we want you to bring your kids. Why are your kids, Drew?
Because we want your kids there. It's going to be just as exciting for them as it is for us. As ministry leaders, Caleb Sargent and his team at Levon Drive Baptist Church, Levon Drive Church, have prepared a lot of stuff for kids of all ages, and they want them to come and be a part of this as much as the adults.
Yeah, so there's a parallel conference for your kids, PK kids, as well as for the teenagers. Some amazing events planned for the kids. So bring them down, sign them up, go to ideanetwork.church, go to the summit tab, and sign up for the summit today. This is Mike. And Mike, we are so glad that you're able to join us today on the podcast to speak with ministry leaders about ministry burnout. Mike, can you tell us a little bit about the Marble Retreat Center, and then let's talk about ministry burnout as a whole.
Sure. Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Great to be here. Marble Retreat was started in 1974 by a psychiatrist in the Mayo Clinic who was seeing a lot of pastors showing up at the Mayo Clinic with what we call psychosomatic issues, meaning their bodies were showing that they were in trouble, but they weren't dealing with the underlying issues. They went to Mayo to try to get help, but then they would do the Mayo workup, find nothing wrong with them. And then they would bump them to the psych unit, and they found out it was a lot of emotional issues that pastors were not dealing with. And so they had their symptoms were real, but the causation was not physical. It was stress, to put it simply. And so this psychiatrist, Dr. Lewis McBurney, he just saw the need back in the 70s for a place for pastors to go that was a safe place to work through their issues. And he started in 74. We've been running year-round ever since. Over 5,000 Christian leaders have come through our doors since then.
That's absolutely incredible. You know, I was speaking with a friend in the network. He's been part of the network for quite some time. And he had been told probably about 6 or 7 years ago by his ministry mentor at a moment that was so crucial in his life. He said to his mentor, "I don't know, I might be experiencing burnout," which his mentor said, "There's no such thing as ministry burnout. You just need to work harder." Is this something you've heard, this kind of philosophy, before? And what kind of damage does that cause?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the things that can foster burnout are widely accepted and even applauded within ministry. You know, just the degree of expectations and the workload and not getting ever kind of off the job, so to speak, being overconnected a lot of the time. You know, there's so many factors that play into burnout that we really can applaud. And yes, you know, the age old kind of response has been, you just need more faith. You know, if you had more faith, this stuff wouldn't bother you. And definitely that has been a common theme for a lot of the pastors that end up, you know, at places like Marble Retreat saying, "I just have crashed now and I'm at the risk of blowing it all up."
So what are the three biggest contributors to ministry burnout that you've seen in your experience?
You know, everybody's unique. So there are some unique factors in everybody's story. But if I had to pick three, you know, just from the years of working with pastors and hearing their stories, I would land on these three. And one is unrealistic expectations, whether that's external from the congregation, leadership, senior staff, whoever, or whether it's internal. And often it is truly both, meaning the expectation to be good at a lot of things a lot of the time. The second one is maybe related to that, and that's never being off, you know, rarely turning it off. You know, there are a lot of jobs that you check in, you check out, you're done. Being a pastor, you know, is so tied to our identity. It's so tied to our value system, and just the nature of the beast is you're rarely off, you know, and so that can feed into burnout as well, as just not being able just to turn it off and just be Mike, so to speak, not Pastor Mike. The last one I'd say is pastor's own personal brokenness that they bring into ministry. You know, in my line of work, I see a lot of pastors who are people pleasers, conflict avoiders, wanting everybody to be happy with them, you name it, and they go up an extra notch because of their own personal brokenness. So you put all those factors together, and then I believe there is a kind of a spiritual warfare aspect as well. And man, you know, it can just add up to taking, you know, folks out of ministry through burnout.
You know, that concept of trying to constantly be on, how do you battle that? What would you say to somebody who's listening right now and they're like, okay, I'm not burnt out and I don't need to fly to Colorado right now, but I mean, Mike, you're speaking my language. I feel like I'm always on. I even at home, I have to be Pastor Dad. What would you say? What's something that they can do? What's a practical step for them?
Well, I think, you know, at a deep level, it's kind of a theological question. Do you believe God gives you permission to be off, to say, I'm not going to be Pastor Mike now? You know, I'm Canadian by birth, so I love playing ice hockey. And, you know, at times I would still get drug into being Pastor Mike, even on the ice, you know, and I would try to be there just as Mike. But they knew I was a pastor, so, you know, they would at times be like, oh, you know, Mike just, one of the moments was I broke a rule, went offside, scored a goal. The other team said, hey, the ref didn't see it, but God saw that. And just reminding me, you know, hey, you're not off just because you're here playing hockey, you know. And so I think, you know, at a deep level, we have to wrestle with, do I really believe God looks at me and says, it's okay to turn it off, to be human, so to speak. Then we need our safe places, those relationships. You know, I was at a barbecue with a group of hockey players, and they were asking me about what I do. And I said, hey, you know, I counsel pastors. They're like, well, what's the deal with pastors? Why do they need a counselor? And I said, many pastors can't do what we're sitting here doing right now, hanging with the guys, just being one of the guys. You know, I'm like, many of them can't, and they don't feel they could. If they were there, they feel like they have to be on. So I think at some level, you have to ask yourself, am I okay with not being on and just being who I am in certain places? And then having those places, those friendships, whether, you know, it's with another guy, whether it's couples, if you're married, where you can just truly be yourself, and then having those activities where you can just have your hobby, your exercise, your sport, whatever it is, just to take off the pastor role and just relax and have fun and be yourself.
How do you get to a place as a ministry leader? And what do you say to a ministry leader who feels a little duplicitous in ministering to his church differently, right? So, for example, my wife and I feel very comfortable around Drew and his wife. We've known each other for many years. We're able to go out to dinner and we can laugh about things and talk about things that are not ministry related. But then you also have people in the church that you love just as much, but you don't feel that, oh, I don't have to be pastor here. I can just be Josh and Heather. Sometimes I feel like guilt there, right? Like I should be the same person everywhere. Maybe there's a sense of duplicity, even in the idea of I have to be on with them, but off with them. Is there two Joshes? Like, what would you say to that?
Well, you know, one thing that comes to my mind is I was walking into a playground. We got two boys, and I was walking onto a playground here just not too long ago, and I heard a guy talking, and I knew instantly he was a pastor by his tone of voice. He felt like he needed to, you know, kind of be preaching in a sense at the playground. You know, just the level of the volume and then where he steered the conversation. What I find interesting is that if you want to love people in a Christ-like way and lead them to Christ, you don't have to have a pastor face on, so to speak. The guy could show up at the playground, you know, still engage with us and still, you know, reach us in a sense. So I think we all have to wrestle with it. Do I need to be something in particular, like kind of like match or meet some type of expectation for people to minister to them, to love them, to lead them to Christ? Or can I really just be who I am, who God designed me to be, and that would be okay? You know, so when I was watching that guy, I'm like, you know, the guy could have done just as much by just being himself here and being another dad on the playground, you know?
Yeah, there's already a persona of ministers or ministry leaders or pastors, right? And like, that isn't what it means when it says preach in season and out of season. Like, I don't think you're supposed to have a 3-point outline at the playground with your son. Like, just be there with him, you know?
And exactly.
So.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I also think part of it, you know, we do really, you know, we're so wrapped up in our performance, you know, all of us, especially us guys, you know, we're so wrapped up in it. And plus our worth comes from that, you know, so we want to be giving our best for God. We want to be performing. But, you know, one of the quotes I often use is, you know, first and foremost, we're a child to be loved, not a tool to be used, you know, in God's eyes. You know, it's, you know, but we are like feeling if I'm not a tool being used all the time, then I feel guilty. I feel selfish. When if we are displaying that we're being loved as a child and we're enjoying the life God has given us, we may actually attract more people to Christ in that way. And that doesn't mean there isn't a time for preaching, teaching, all that. You know, reason I serve pastors is because I love pastors. I love the role. I believe in the importance of the role in the kingdom. And pastors have made a phenomenal difference in my life and bringing me into Christ and helping me to go to seminary and encouraging my spiritual walk. And so those things are really important. But there's times as well just to be who you are.
We've talked about it multiple times on the podcast before that there is a sense of authenticity, or I should say, we've talked about it on the podcast multiple times. There is a fear of being authentic and having a sense of genuine authenticity with the people around you, because if they knew who I really was, boy, they would be leaning away. One of the things we've discovered is the more we can just be authentic as we lead, it makes people lean in. When we can be honest about our failures, our struggles, our interests, the fact that I don't have to pretend that I like your hockey team, and you don't have to pretend that you love watching Star Wars. And I can tell you about my Star Wars movie, and you can tell me about your hockey team. We can appreciate you for who you are. But that's a huge burden off of the shoulders. Just be authentically you with your strengths and weaknesses and with your foibles and your successes.
You know, God is just so much more good and powerful than we give him credit for. That, you know, the pastors who come to see us at Marble Retreat, let's say they've been caught in a moral failure, or they're really struggling with some emotional or mental health issue. They fear that's going to take them out of ministry. And often God redeems that exact thing to be the thing that pushes them further into ministry once they are honest and open about it. The thing they thought was a weakness becomes their greatest strength because of the grace and the power and the redemption of God. And it is interesting how we fear being authentic and real about our weaknesses, because, like, oh, if people knew this, then they may not respect me, or what's their expectation of me, when often it's the exact opposite. It's in our weakness that, you know, that he is strong. But we like to be confident. We like to be, you know, have the answers, all that kind of stuff. And that's pretty a normal struggle for us.
Yeah. I think in a lot of ways we like to be on display instead of having God's grace on display, and that's part of it. But so we've talked about the three biggest contributors, right? So, like, this might be the obvious question, but how does burnout affect the spouse and the children of the minister?
Well, you know, I definitely have worked with some pastors, if it's maybe like mild to medium level burnout, where their relationship at home with their spouse, their kids, is still a refuge. And they will say that, hey, you know, stuff at church is really wearing on me, but at home, stuff is good. Wife and I are still connecting, or my husband and I are still connecting. It seems good with the kids. But definitely there's a tipping point comes when you get to moderate to significant burnout, where the emotional bandwidth, the relational bandwidth is just gone. You know, one of the factors of burnout is that people become problems, meaning everybody is becoming a problem to me, not a person, not a relationship. So if anybody wants to meet with me, talk to me, the phone rings, it's like, ah, I just don't have the energy for that. So that then begins to bleed into the relationships at home. And so the pastor is more irritable. They want to come home and disappear and disconnect. So now the spouse is like, man, I used to get cold leftovers. Now I'm getting no leftovers, because, you know, they come home, they're just done. And they are a shadow of who they once were. So then the family can actually start to get bitter about the church and about serving. And definitely I've heard that from a lot of spouses, like, I lost my spouse to the church. And or if they hear their pastor spouse laughing at Marble Retreat with some of our guests, it'll be like, that's the first time I heard them laugh in years, because they got so serious and so drained by ministry. So then the spouse can get resentful, you know, unfortunately, about the church and about ministry. And so it definitely comes a tipping point where the pastor who's burned out does not have the bandwidth anymore to engage in those relationships at home. Or if they do, it often is negative, because they're irritable, they're impatient, that kind of thing.
If you're listening to this, I want to speak directly to some of my friends out there, my brothers out there, and you've done a good job putting a mask on. In reality, maybe even with other members of the network, maybe with even me and others, and you're just tired of pretending. I mean, in reality, you sense exactly what Mike is saying. You've been short-tempered with your kids. The joy of being around your wife is not there. You see a phone call coming in, and you're like, no. You're starting to sense these moments. Look, we care about you, and we don't think you have to continue to walk down this path, down this journey. And Mike is going to share just a few steps, a few starting points, not, all right, immediately book your ticket. Mike, what are four starting steps that somebody could take right now if they're beginning to feel burnout?
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of tell you four kind of big picture ones, and then if I have time, I'll tell you some four kind of small picture ones, if that's okay. So big picture, you know, I do think, and you know, I'm a counselor, I train counselors, you know, I think accurate diagnosis is so important. And we definitely have worked with pastors where there's something else going on. They're maybe developing diabetes. We've had people post-concussion. We've had, you know, where there's actually truly something playing into it. So I think if you are significantly burned out, meaning I am just so drained all the time, it's really hard to function. I just can't seem to get up for the things I used to, whether it's sermon prep or preaching or the meetings or whatever, you know, I think it's great to talk to an expert, whether that's a doctor, a counselor, or whatever, to say, okay, what's going on here? If it's determined to be burnout, you know, so one, I think accurate diagnosis is key, because people can get very frustrated because they're not doing well, but then they're having the wrong interventions for what the problem is, and then they get frustrated. So accurate diagnosis to me is key. And so second, though, if you're like, okay, this is burnout, I'm pretty clear it's burnout, then I think getting away is really key, because it's so hard in the midst of the triggers and the pressure and everything spinning. You know, you wake up in the morning, and even I wake up, you know, the first thing I think of every day is, what do I need to do today? I look at my calendar, what needs to get done? And that's just kind of our natural wiring. So I think getting away, like even if it's a 2-day, 3-day, whatever kind of getting away that it means for you in your life that you can do, but just kind of get a bird's eye view of like what's going on. And within that, would be the next step is like, what is truly burning me out? Is this an external thing or an internal thing? Meaning, can I put my finger on exactly what kind of responsibilities or the people or the expectations that's burning me out? Or is it more internal? Is it the pressure I'm putting on myself? Am I a perfectionist? Am I too driven? Am I whatever it may be? Do I fear failure? You know, is this all a mic thing, so to speak? So then I'd say, can I identify what it is? And if you can't, then you really need to go see somebody, even if that's a good friend, to say, hey, I'm burning out. What do you see in me that you think is contributing? Typically, your friend and your spouse can probably put their finger on it, or at least in the ballpark. So then the last thing is making a change in that. It may not be a big change. It may be a little change. But a lot of pastors I work with are so fearful to make changes, and they have their whole list of reasons why. I can't do that. I can't back off on the number of services. I can't back off on this or that, because, and fill in the blank with the fear, the vast majority of them can. You know, there are those who do get burned. I will admit that by going back and trying to make changes. But the vast majority actually has a little more leverage than they think they do. And my experience has been when a pastor has gone back and said, you know, I can only do 6 weddings a year. I can't be doing 20 anymore. I can only do this. Typically, it's like, okay, fine. How do we work that out? And everybody moves on, you know? And so I would say in a big picture, those are some great things to do in the big picture of healing burnout. So get away, identify what the problem is, make a change, make some changes in that problem area, so to speak. Then, of course, there's nuances to that, like getting leadership on your side if you're a pastor, because that's huge if you're going to make a change in your church and what you do and what your role is. And there's wisdom to be used, you know, and how you go about making the change. But that would get into the details. Then on the other hand, if you just want some kind of burnout kind of buster, so to speak, interventions, you know, one, hobby is huge. Just that kind of me time thing. I ask pastors all the time, what's your hobby? Fly fishing. Well, when did you go last? 1.5 years ago. I'm like, that's not a hobby. That's history. That's, you know, a hobby is something you do ideally weekly, where you can just be in the zone doing what you love to do. And you're not thinking ministry. You're just doing something you love to do. And that can be a lot of different things for folks. And then two, of course, as we all kind of talk about a lot, is the social connection of just getting to hang out with a friend, good friends, other couples, whatever it may be. Three, exercise, which may tie into your hobby. You know, if you play a sport, then, hey, great. You know, you can get your hobby and your exercise in. And then the fourth one is having your own personal spiritual devotion. You know, just really taking time for yourself and God, you know, and not just the traditional, I take time in the Word when I'm prepping for something, you know. And so I would say those are our 4 things specifically that can help if it's not severe burnout. If it's severe burnout, though, those things probably aren't going to help until you get to what is the source of my burnout and how do I fix those things, whether that, again, is external or internal or both.
Drew and I are with Mike McKenzie of the Marble Retreat Center in Colorado. Now, Mike, if somebody is not just experiencing the beginning steps, they're sitting there and they've got tears coming to their eyes and they're not sure why. And maybe they're getting angry and tense just listening to this. Maybe they're at the place of burnout. What is the Retreat Center and what steps could they take to actually coming out to Colorado and being part of the ministry you have?
Yeah, you know, Marble Retreat, again, we run what we call intensive counseling sessions, and they're 8 days long. They're in a beautiful lodge, you know, up in the Rocky Mountains. So you get disconnected. You're in beauty. You're in the mountains. And so going to marbleretreat.org is the best way to get in touch with us. There's a phone number. There's an email there to contact us. We do these year-round, and we've been running full, you know, for quite a while now, definitely in the last couple of years since COVID and all the other stresses we're well aware of. You know, the phone has been busy. So, you know, we've been running full, but there's other places as well to go. Some in Colorado, the Quiet Waters is in Colorado, is another place. You know, so there's other places as well, but marbleretreat.org is a place you can start. And, you know, it's our passion to help pastors. We're here for you. We're here to serve you and help you. And we believe, you know, that it can be better. It's man, we can just get locked into some patterns and we don't see a way out, but it truly can be better.
That's awesome, Mike. It's greatly appreciated. I'll just say this. There have been members of the Idea Network, great community of pastors, who have been to Marble Retreat. And friend, you have been a great help to us by those who have been to your retreat center and the other retreat centers that you've mentioned and other ones around the country. And if you're there today and you're listening to this, and if there's any way possible this is something that you need, let me encourage you, sit down with your most trusted leader at church. Let them know what's going on. If you don't have the financial capability to make this happen, talk to your leadership and say, I need this, or we're going to have a problem. Be humble, be honest, and you'll be surprised how those individuals might lean back into you and provide for you something like Marble Retreat Center that could really help you take that next step.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.